Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted to have you on board, and we're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion today. Let me remind us once again that our program of Let's Face the Issues is designed around you, our listener. We do this so that you'll have the prerogative and the opportunity to call in with your discussion. Perhaps you have a question, perhaps you have insight that you would like to add to the discussion, or perhaps you may disagree. You can do so, but we're not going to be disagreeable in doing that. We'd love to have your input. Let me remind you right up front that you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you right through to the studio and to the microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion on these issues today. Let me remind us also once again that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You see, whatever I think or say is not worth anything. Whatever someone else or perhaps what you would think or say or feel is not really valuable. But what God says is the ultimate value, and it ought to be that which we look at as the guidelines for life. As we look at the Scripture, we find it does not just contain truth. It is truth. The totality of the 66 books that we find combined called the Bible is the word of truth. It is truth. Jesus himself said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. He had already said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for freedom when it comes to what the Bible says, the only source to find that freedom is in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we welcome you on board today, and we're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about a subject today that could be a little rough on the edges for some. It could be that some do not like to talk about these issues. This is the very reason that I find it so necessary and incumbent upon me to open the door, some might say Pandora's box, and talk about some of these issues that I believe need to be openly discussed in our societal mix today, and in particular among Christians. I find it an anomaly so often that Christians, and it's becoming more norm than an anomaly, but more and more Christians, where there's feeling that somehow, some way, we need to walk on eggshells and not talk about these issues that affect society. But we're going to be talking about socialism, racism, and social justice. Socialism, racism, and social justice. And I can just see the ears already being puckered up out there when I mentioned that title. Because most pastors are fearful to discuss these issues. They're afraid they might chase somebody away and therefore lose numbers, nickels, and noses, as I call it. But I think as Christians in particular, we need to step forward, be salt and light, and face these issues. Perhaps a few of you that's listening today, you are not paying attention, and I hope that you have been with our primary election just having passed this Tuesday. But many are not paying attention to what's taking place and what I call the cause and effect. But there's the screams and the cries from the left in our cities and our states and here in the city of Jacksonville and the state of Florida across America as a result of our primary election that's just taken place. And Jacksonville has made the headlines as well as the elections in the state of Florida. The headlines have been made, not in a positive sense, but in a vastly negative sense. And that's because the conservative Republican that won the primary as the Republican Party primary, which is Congressman Ron DeSantis, because recently in an interview that he had on television, he made a statement that's gotten the ire up of some that I believe ought not to be so, but it is. Let me just read you the little blurb from that statement, because that's the launching point of where we're going to make our broadcast discussions today. Title of this article says, DeSantis, Florida voters shouldn't monkey things up by voting for Gillum. He goes on to say, this is the article now, this is the statement from DeSantis. Let's build off the success we've already had with Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases bankrupting the state. That's not going to work, said Ron DeSantis. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the further statement on that in this particular article, the Florida Democratic Party chairwoman, Terry Razzo, slammed DeSantis after the interview. Quote, it's disgusting that Ron DeSantis is launching his general election campaign with a race dog, racist dog whistle. End quote. Now, I want to ask anybody listening, if you can call in, I'd love to hear your insights on it. If you believe that somehow, some way, talking about monkeying something up is a racist statement. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't find it a racist statement in the scripture. When Jesus says that we are to be his servants, the word servant in the scripture is the word doulos. It means slave. And every one of the epistles that the Apostle Paul penned from the human perspective, he introduced himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. That word simply means doulos, slave. And furthermore, he says, the scripture says we're to be dead to self and alive to Christ. So in essence, if you look at the Greek text, we're to be dead slaves. Dead doulos. In fact, the word for death or dead is the nekros, word nekros. We're to be a nekros doulos. I've got four sons that were brought up me telling them, son, we're supposed to be a nekros doulos, a dead slave. But as far back as I can recall, the words monkey this up has no sense of being called racism. The scream of racism, I believe, comes from the socialists and the liberals in the Democratic Party. That simply are devoid of any substantive foundation to talk on or to speak on, and so they scream racism. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand no such thing as race in America. God created one race, and it's the human race. And so I get a little uptight when somebody starts talking about racism. Our guest today, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we've got here in the studio with us on the microphone today with Let's Face the Issues broadcast, my brother in Christ and friend, Marshall Wood. Marshall, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Good morning, Pastor. Good to sit here next to you and watch you do what I think we all need to do, and that's go poke them in the eye and let's put some balls in play regardless of who wants to play ball with us or not.
I am thankful that you're here, and I know with the insight that you have on this subject, and we've had multitudinous conversations about it, mm-hmm. and I've got confidence in what God has given you as far as wisdom and insight in his word enough. But, Marshall, I am astounded to find so many people screaming racism today. In fact, it is what I call reverse discrimination, where you find people talking about old white men need to get out of the way. And where there's a movement today under the millennials that says that the Bible was written by old white men, so therefore it needs to be discounted. And I am a little bit sick and tired of it, whether it's racism from either ethnic standpoint, either the white or the black. There's no such thing as a race other than the human race. But, Marshall, I grew up with a stepdad that was a mechanic. Never will forget. And it's sad to say, but he was a drunk. And he would open the hood of an automobile and take the hood off. And that was back in the old days. You didn't have a whole lot of electronics on the engine. And he would put me up on, I'd squat down on the blockhead of the engine. He'd hand me the wrench to take the engine apart, and he would give me directions of what to take apart. And so I grew up learning mechanics by hand, on site, hand doing it, having experience with it. But during those days in my toolbox, I had what was called a monkey wrench.
Oh, you racist.
A monkey wrench. So I reckon that was called a racist wrench, I reckon, in today's vocabulary. I grew up not realizing that I had a racist tool in my hand. And many people have heard the statement, Marshall, don't monkey this up, yes, or don't throw a monkey wrench in it. And yet today that is claimed a racist statement. I've heard the old adage so many times that we ought not to throw a monkey wrench in something.
Well, let me jump in on that. We're sitting here chuckling a little bit because it sounds so preposterous that a use of a term like monkey wrench or monkey up the process would be turned into something that was negative or hateful. But the reality is all we're dealing with is pure Marxism right here.
Absolutely.
What do the Marxists say? The Marxists say the truth is what we declare it to be. So one of the greatest tactics that they use is to, and it's actually, it's an old carny trick. Sometimes people would be shortchanged of money by a ticket window in a carnival. And when challenged, they would take that money and show the person why they got the change. And the very first thing you had to watch, they would say, okay, now that's 25, right? And they'd put a nickel there, and then they'd count out the rest, which would come up to the amount that they owed. That's kind of hard to visualize, but it was a trick they used. And they got you to accept the premise that that first statement they made was correct and everything else was built on it. And that's what we're doing here. They are defining what is evil.
This, and we're allowing them to define it.
We allow them to do it, and then we base the remaining argument, which may be even correct, on that false premise. When they define what racism is, they being those people out there who are misaligned with or in direct opposition to the will of our Father God, who has put everything, defined everything for us in the Word of God.
Yes.
When we accept that false premise, then we're guilty of allowing our culture to be destroyed. And that's what's happening. The Marxists from the get-go, because before they were Marxists, they were something else. It's just Satan behind them. They have been against America just as the world is against Christ, because America, as Christ did, stands in the way of the objective of evil, pure evil. That is exactly what we're dealing in. Marxism deals with the idea that the collective is more important than the individual, yet Jesus said, it's all about you, and I'm going to die for you, son.
Absolutely. You. Even with the child, bringing the little child to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So everything about what we're seeing right now, and oddly enough, it's backed by a group of people that would say they're very religious, but the reality is they have a form of religion, a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, because they go and redefine the very basic terms that help us order our culture, order our society, which in the past has been ordered on the Word of God. We have a brand new lexicon out there, and one of the words in it, if you look up racist, is looks like you and me. I mean, we're just by default, because we actually have been the power brokers in the past of the culture. We are racist and nobody else is. And that's just a lie that we have accepted, and it is being used today, in my humble opinion, and I've been studying this for over 30 years, to tear down our culture. And our culture is dying. We are literally observing Isaiah, the six woes of Isaiah chapter 5.
Yes.
Right before our
Absolutely.
Lives.
Absolutely. We're watching that taking place. And the thing that's sad to me, Marshall, is to see so many Christians, and I'm not, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to demean you as a Christian or any other Christian, but Marshall, I find so many Christians today that somehow, some way are acquiescing to this and buying into it and being silent, when I believe that is absolutely detrimental to our societal fabric, the warp and the woof of society. But we're talking about the claim against, or the accusation against, Ron DeSantis, which is an upstanding Christian gentleman, and he won the Republican primary by a landslide, I would call it, over 300,000 votes. But Andrew Gillum, 39-year-old mayor of Tallahassee, Florida, is the candidate that won the primary for the Democratic Party. And so the question begs to be asked, who is Andrew Gillum? And I have gone back to the internet, and I've researched him pretty extensively. And I won't take time to go through all of his background, but he has had a shooting star, if you will, background since about 2001, being involved in some realm of political life in Tallahassee, and then ascended to the throne, if you will, as the mayor of Tallahassee. And now he's won the Democratic primary. He is an open, proud, bragging socialist, and I can't say it any other way. And I'm not trying to in any way tear him down as an individual, but this is his ideological, philosophical, political position, and it makes it very, very dangerous. What does he believe in as a socialist? Let me just give a little tidbit of information for our listeners, Marshall, as to what this man believes in out of his own words, what he has said. He says he wants free education for everyone. Now, I want you to listen to, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the term that I use for each of these issues. He wants free education for everyone, free health care for everyone, including illegal aliens. He wants the equal wages for everyone, that is, a guaranteed income. He wants to do away with our national borders. He is adamantly opposed to President Donald J. Trump. I've listened to his dialogue and discussion and his speeches, if you will, three different times. That's not a major number, but he's fresh on the scene. So I've watched him speak three times. Each time he is proud to demean President Donald J. Trump and let the audience know that whatever he does will be in light of battling against our president. He wants to eliminate immigration enforcement, ICE. He wants to eliminate the border security. Gillum is for abortion. Gillum is for the LGBTQ movement in America. He wants to increase the Florida taxes on small businesses. He says that that's needful in order to take care of some of the free things. Gillum said he would stand against the Florida Stand Your Ground law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We're talking about today racism, socialism, and social justice. All three of those integrate together to be a movement in America today that's alarming, Marshall. I'm frightened to death of what I'm seeing. This Gillum is a proud socialist, and he is for removing the Second Amendment rights for our citizens. He is for removing the Stand Your Ground, which otherwise could be known in the broad sense, the Castle Doctrine, and that out of the Castle Doctrine, that is that every citizen has the right to defend his domicile, his home, and then outside of that is to defend your life. If someone attacks, that you can respond with deadly force and protect your life. He is for removing that as a law. Now, how do we contrast that with Congressman Ron DeSantis, which is the opposition from the conservative Republican side? He wants to build on President Trump's status. He wants to build the president's wall. He's for border security. He is a constitutionalist capitalist. He stands for our Bill of Rights. He stands for the national anthem. He doesn't want to take a knee for the national anthem. He will not try to cancel our Second Amendment right. He is for religious free speech and religious freedom. So what's the great divide about? Why is it? It's because of socialism.
It is, absolutely. And again, the reason I like your program, as I told you, I think this is the most important 30 minutes on the radio, probably on TV during the day. You are speaking on the issues that we must speak about. I've been on some other programs, and when you get into the, when you blend the secular with the biblical, people get uncomfortable. But I'm going to use the right biblical term here.
All right.
Again, we are battling with Satan himself.
That's right.
And you've taught that over and over again. We're battling the demonic realm, whether we call it Marxism or whatever. Satan is called what? The father of lies, is he not?
Right.
God gives us fingerprints of Satan that we can identify, and when we see these fingerprints on different people, we know they're not speaking truth. They're putting up the red herrings. Let me tell you why I believe that's what Andrew Gillum has done. I was part of a group that brought him here 3 or 4 years ago to speak at an annual prayer breakfast we do to kind of address the issues between black and white Americans, citizens here, and to make things better. And to hear him speak, you would embrace him as a Christian brother. Well, that's kind of like what Merrick Curry did back in 2015, in March of 2015.
That's true.
A prominent
Absolutely.
Pastor stood up there with him, and he spoke to those of us in the Christian community and said, "You can trust this brother in Christ. He's going to do what's right." Well, time has shown Merrick Curry is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And now I found in the succeeding years that Andrew Gillum is the same thing. I even think I arranged to fly him here, if I recall it right. It was very much involved in the process, and I come from Tallahassee. And now, after the fact, we've realized that now I've again, I have not fact-checked this. This is family members that have told me this, but violence in Tallahassee under his regime there has gone up. There is dysfunction in Tallahassee that had begun to be corrected years ago. That's in the city management. But again, I should be careful saying things like that, honestly, but I have it on good authority from people that live there that Andrew Gillum's got some real problems in the governance of the city of Tallahassee.
Absolutely. In fact, it is, as you know, still under a cloud with the FBI investigation.
Absolutely.
About how they award contracts for improvements in the city of Tallahassee.
And the point is, what he says does not match reality, and it is, in my view, intentional deception. What is intentional deception? That's lying.
That's right.
And that is one of the great fingerprints of Satan, as well as those people who support abortion. That is one of the fundamental tenets.
This is the reason I've said, if I could jump in,
shoot.
And then we'll take a caller. But this is the reason I've said so often, I think we have both reverberated in our conversation off each other the same thing. I find it antithetical to biblical truth for a person to say, I'm a Democrat, but yet I love Jesus.
You can't do it.
Can't do it.
It's not possible.
It is an absolute impossibility.
And did you know that Dennis Prager said that on his show yesterday? Rabbi Dennis Prager said, you can't be
a
Christian. You cannot be a moral person in right standing with God and be a Democrat.
He is so
God
true.
God bless him.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I am very, very proud of what Dr. Youngblood is doing, and I would like to offer my encouragement, hoping that Americans are really waking up to realize how serious our situation is. I am concerned about the role of the church. Church is there are so many churches in Jacksonville and in the United States, and the church is like silent, not making any contribution to what is happening to our culture.
Yes, well, I am thankful for your comment and your positive assertions as to what we're doing. Yes, we have, I believe the last count was somewhere close to 1,600 churches in Duval County and the surrounding area in Jacksonville metropolitan area, and yet we find so much silence, and I'm saddened by that because I believe if we as Christians, whether it be the man and woman in the pew or the preacher in the pulpit, if we would cease being silent and take a stand on biblical truth, I believe we could see America turned around, and as our president uses the term, make America great again, I believe could truly be taking place from a biblical sense. And I am saddened to see so much silence in the pulpits and among Christians today. But I really appreciate your call. Keep on praying for this ministry and pray that God will increase the listeners and the support for it. It is our joy to come to the listeners daily by way of this broadcast, and it's my prayer each day that it would be something that would be educational, inspirational, and challenging for our listening audience. But thank you so much for your call. Keep praying for us as we continue to voice what I believe God would have us to do and waking people up as to the reality of what's happening in our nation today. Thank you so much for your call. Marshall, one of the things that I find that is so sad, the Pew Research poll within the past 30 to 45 days, do not have that statistical data before me, but I recall the numbers. But Pew says that 57% of the Democratic Party, 57%, say that they agree with the philosophy of socialism. How can we find our way forward as a nation and division within even the Democratic Party with that number? That's an astronomical number.
Well, it is an astronomical number. Let's just talk quickly where it came from, and that's a violation of what Jesus said in Matthew 22:34-40 when he answered the question, what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is this, and it's in three parts. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Our first admonition is to love God. I think you'll agree. We don't do that much in our culture anymore. The second part of that, as Moses was speaking to the heads of the tribes, he said, "And these words that I command you this day shall be in your heart." That sounds like Psalms 119, 105. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then lastly, here's the answer to the problem, or the reason for the problem, "and you shall teach these things diligently to your children." That 57 to 60% you're talking about are young millennials and Gen Xers that did not have fathers that took the time to say, "Here's what it's all about, son or daughter. Here's what you need to know. This is what my father and my grandfathers taught me that I want to pass on to you." And it is this thought, that there's nothing more important than the Word of God, young son or daughter. You need to have this a part of your life continuously, read it every day. So now the answer then to what is the problem is simply what we're not doing. We much preach the word in season Amen. And out of season, Absolutely. Whether people like it or not.
That's right. In fact, I've got three basic, and I've done extensive research on the subject that we're talking about today, in relationship to socialism and social justice, and integrated with that is now the mantra of racism. There are three things that I believe, based on my research, that are the fundamental foundational reasons, the rationale behind the supergrowth in the realm of socialism today. And that is, number one, the millennials. And I'm not picking, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not picking on the 18 to 35-year-old age group, but that happens to be the ones that's called the millennials. But the millennials in the universities and colleges that they've been in the past, 10, 15, 20 years in particular, they are being taught that socialism is good and capitalism is bad. The Constitution is being eviscerated in the classroom, and so as a result of that, socialism and social justice is being the mantra in the classroom. So the 18 to 35-year-old age group, Marshall, I believe, and they're becoming our leaders nationally, politically, socially, professionally. And so that age group is where we are. Secondly, the demise of Christianity, just as you said a moment ago. As Christianity is falling, as Christianity is being driven out of culture, then we find more and more of the socialism. Because here's the fact, ladies and gentlemen, our nation was founded on Christian biblical
doctrine.
And
that's a fact.
That's a fact. And so as a result of our tearing down American history and building up socialism versus capitalism, we find more and more of those coming out of the colleges and the universities, otherwise known as the prestigious universities, that today are believing in socialism and pushing for that. And an integral part of that socialistic mindset is social justice. And that comes into play, feminism and all of the other attributes in that. And the third component of this factor is free. Everything's free. And free sounds good. Free is good. But one of the problems is, as the socialist 28-year-old young lady in New York that just won the primary and beat out a candidate that had been in office some almost 30 years in New York, she talks about free. And when asked on television by an anchor person on one of the networks, said, "Well, how's it going to be paid for?" She said, "Well, the government can pay for it."
Yes. we can open a Pandora's box. In my view, there's a fourth one that I hope will be a subject of a show in the near future that deals with the internet. And that is the single device that Al Gore, I'm going to give him credit, gave us, that has led to the declension of our culture. And I'm prepared to defend that. But there are two things that will turn us around. The first is the Y chromosome. Most folks out there that know me know what I'm talking about. And secondly, it's the Word of God.
Yes.
And primarily, it is the Word of God.
Absolutely. Amen. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today is socialism, racism, and social justice. And we're talking about it in view of the screaming of racism against the Republican candidate, Ron DeSantis. And that's being cried out by Andrew Gillum in his race for governor of the state of Florida. And he is supported by none other than the socialist renowned Bernie Sanders, and the one that wants to destroy America and make it a socialist, borderless nation is George Soros.
George Soros.
Those two are the sources of the funding for this young man. And I'm saddened, Marshall, in these closing moments, I'm saddened to see in today's newspaper where the newspaper is bragging on the fact that it's Jacksonville, Florida, that put Gillum over the top to win the race in his primary and the Democratic Party.
And the media is another huge part of the problem. I've had experience with those folks, and I can tell you they've been the false news for a long time.
What you call fake news. Absolutely. Yes, sir. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at socialism, there's no religious freedom. There's no free speech. Only the elites survive. And there's no Bill of Rights. Churches are few and far between. And those that are considered illegal. So let me leave it with you today, ladies and gentlemen. We want a capitalistic system, a constitutional capitalistic system. We cannot survive under socialism. And let's stop this hue and cry of racism. God created one race, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in his sight, as the little song goes. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining with us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.